give this message is because I believe God wants us to become a mighty moving force across the island. I believe God wants us to be able to dictate some things to what the Bible calls principalities and powers, or the controlling spiritual forces that are in the world. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but there are spiritual forces that control certain things. And so we want to share a little bit this morning about that. And if I was going to title this message, I'd probably title it Going from Prison to Liberty, or Captivity to Liberty. Going from Prison to Liberty, I guess. And I want to share a little bit about that this morning, because a lot of times we come into a place where we feel that we have gotten a degree of freedom, but we haven't really walked into the liberty that we desire. So I want to share some things about how to go from a place of freedom to liberty. There is a difference, or to the exercise of that. This week I was listening to Mike Tyson being interviewed by Gian Gomeshi. Some of you would know who he is. He's a CBC personality, radio talk show. He was interviewing Mike Tyson. And of course, Mike Tyson is the youngest person that ever became a world champion boxer. And he held at least three titles at the same time. He was only 20 years old and 4 months, I believe it was, when he became the world champion. Quite an accomplishment for a young man. And anyway, his life went downhill quite a bit. Even though he was a champion of the world, his life went downhill pretty bad. Now, he's still doing some stuff, not in the ring, but some other things. But I want to use terminology, just telling you this so you don't think I'm just being spiritual and not identifying real spiritual issues or trying to make something spiritual that's natural. I'm going to use Gian Gomeshi's terminology. And because he was talking to Mike Tyson, and he was saying to Mike Tyson, he says, well, you know, you grew up and you had all these bad things happen to you. And he said, did you ever want to get rid of your demons? And that's the terminology that he used. Did you ever want to get rid of your demons? And Mike Tyson said, well, no, I didn't, because that is what would give me success in the ring. Because I had so much anger that would rise up on the inside of me that, of course, he would be able to defeat his opponent. The anger would rise up. So when Gian Gomeshi asked him, did you want to get rid of your demons? He said, no, I didn't want to, because that's what would give me success. I thought that was very interesting, because whether they knew it or not, I thought they put the right labels on it. I thought they used the right terminology concerning a demonic anger that had taken hold of Mike Tyson in a very young age. But he didn't want to get rid of it, because it's what had given him success. And I think many times what happens to us as Christians, there are things that come into our lives from from trauma of experiencing life. There's some things that come into our lives that we use to try to protect ourselves. And so when it comes to walking into liberty, sometimes we don't want to get rid of the things that we used in the past in order to bring us success. And God is saying, if you really want to be free, if you want to really want to walk in liberty, then you're going to have to give up these things and trust in me and not in those demonic forces that have given us success in the past. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so sometimes you and I, we come to this place where we have to let go and let God. Usually we don't. We think we do, but we often hang on to it. The Apostle Paul, in speaking about his transition from coming out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, when God met him on the road to Damascus and struck him down, really, and gave him a commission. One of the things that Paul said God told him, that God was sending him to the Gentiles to turn those from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to God. He was sent to bring liberty to these captives. so that they could come out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. And whether we realize it or not, whether this world realizes it or not, that when a person comes to Christ, when a person receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're actually coming out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of Satan, out of the kingdom where Satan is king, into a kingdom where the Lord Jesus Christ is king. We come out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so when that happens, we have freedom factually. Legally, we have freedom. And I believe we also have the opportunity for that freedom to bring us into liberty. And we'll get into that in a little bit. It becomes our choice then of what we do. You see, when we come out of a place of bondage, when the gates are open for us to walk into our freedom, we still have to walk through the gates. God doesn't pull us through. We still have to walk through the gates. And many times, some of us refuse to walk through the gates, or sometimes this gate of liberty and freedom may be, Jesus said, narrow is the road that leads us into a path of righteousness, into heaven. Well, sometimes some of this stuff that we got with us might be too big to get through that gate. And God wants us to leave that alone, leave that behind, so we can go through the gate of freedom and liberty and walk into the fullness of what God has called us to. And that's a little bit what I want to share about this morning, is the fullness of what God has called us to. Rather than just coming out of the kingdom of darkness, as great and wonderful and magnificent as that is, thank God the devil is not our king. Thank God that the devil is not our father. You'll remember when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he spoke to the Pharisees, the really religious people who were trying to work their way to heaven, basically. He said, you guys are of your father, the devil. So he was making it very clearly, if Father God is not our God, there's only one other fellow. It's the devil. And I'm so glad that when we accept Christ, that we no longer have this demonic force that we have to be subservient to. But Jesus Christ is king now in our lives. Now, just to lay a little foundation about where we want to go here, I want to read from Zechariah chapter 9. Interesting scripture. Zechariah chapter 9 says this. As for you also, talking about his people now, God's people. As for you also, because of and for the sake of the covenant. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Because of the sake of the covenant of the Lord with his people, which was sealed and sprinkled. The blood covenant. Because of this, I have released and sent forth your imprisoned people out of the waterless pit. Or you could say, you have sent forth your prisoners. Your prisoners, your people who are prisoners. And then he said in verse 12, now return to the stronghold, a place of security and prosperity. He's saying to his own people, return, people who have not really paid attention to the security that's found in the Lord. He's saying, now return to this place of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. Interesting scripture, isn't it? He's calling his people even, you prisoners of hope. Well, you know, we're all prisoners to some degree to something. The Apostle Paul called himself a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a slave of the Lord. He was God's slave. He'd chosen to be a slave to Christ. He was in bondage to Christ, he says in another place. So we make a choice to what we set ourselves in bondage to. And the Lord is saying, talking to a people, he's saying, return to the stronghold, a place of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope, or you people who have made a decision to not let go of the hope that you have in Christ. You prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you. Prisoners of hope. That is, those who, in spite of all the afflictions that might come our way, those who, in spite of all the contradictions that might come into our lives, things that we thought would happen and not happening, things that we believe that the Word of God is saying and it seems like is not coming in the coming to pass in our lives, in the face of all that, we still have hope. We don't lose our hope. We have chosen to be prisoners of hope. We have chosen to stay in the place of hoping, believing that God's Word is going to eventually be manifest in their lives and we're going to come to enjoy the grace of God. We choose to be prisoners of hope. Now let's look at Luke chapter 4, 18. I'm going to read from the Wayman's translation. I use different translations because some translations kind of sink into the... of what the point that you're trying to get across a little bit better than others. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, or upon me, Jesus saying this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the prisoners of war. Everybody say prisoners of war. So Jesus has been sent to announce release to the prisoners of war and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away free those whom tyranny has crushed. And I want you to know the tyranny of the darkness of this world, the tyranny of the demonic forces that try to invade people's lives. It is real tyranny and it is real darkness. And there is a dynamic in God's delivering power that is available to us to become free from this tyranny of darkness. Now notice, he said, he has come to announce release to the prisoners of war. He's come to announce it. He's coming to proclaim it. He's come to declare it. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with this announcement? What are we going to do with this declaration? What are we going to do when we hear, you're free? What are we going to do with when we hear those words? We have a choice. You and I have a choice to either apply our faith to those words and start acting accordingly, or we just think that's just pie in the sky. Or thank God I'm free and never go out of your prison. Thank God I'm free but never go out of the jail that you're locked into. Thank God I'm free but never get rid of the demonic forces that harass us. Well, we have a choice. We can do something about it, or we can continue to put up with it. Now, the interesting thing is that prisoners of war, if you study this a little bit, especially you go back in reading and hearing about some of the prisoners in recent times who have had traumatic experiences when they were held in captivity. Some of the Israeli soldiers, for instance, that have been held in captivity for many, many years, when they were given liberty, when they were, maybe there might have been a prison exchange, but somehow they came out of captivity. Well, when they come out of captivity, it has been very extremely difficult for them to come and live life the way they lived it before. It's extremely difficult for a captive, a prisoner of war, when they have been released from that prison, it is extremely difficult for them to be able to deal with the trauma of their experience while being in prison. It is very difficult for them. And I think sometimes we can see that as well within the Christian body, that when we come into the kingdom, when freedom is declared over us, when the release from captivity has been brought, because of our trauma, because of the experiences that we've had while in bondage and in prison to the things of this world, we have a difficult time to come and live as citizens of the kingdom. And so it's not automatic. To have one declared free is not automatic to enjoy that freedom. We have a responsibility. I remember hearing about a man who was speaking to a number of prisoners of war. They had come out of prison and they were speaking, trying to help them to work through the post-traumatic distress and so forth. And he asked a group of soldiers, how many of you are still dealing, or pardon me, he put it this way, how many of you are totally free from the experiences that you went through when you were in prison? How many of you would say you're totally free? There was only one person that put his hand up. And the facilitator was saying that after the meeting, the wife of that one person came up to him and said, you know, my husband doesn't sleep at night. There's not a night goes by that he doesn't have nightmares. And so from that, you could almost take 100% of them. We're still dealing with the conflict, the trauma that they went through when they were prisoners of war. Now, sometimes we as Christians, we come to think that we can come out of captivity and be launched into the kingdom of God and as citizens of the kingdom and think we don't have to deal with this trauma that came upon us from experiences of life that we were never meant to experience. Because the Bible doesn't only call us before we were born again, before we were Christians, it doesn't only call us prisoners, it calls us, it says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We experience resurrection. Our spirit man has been born again. But we still have this soul realm and this flesh to deal with. And the soul realm and this flesh deals with traumatic experiences. When we go through certain things in life, traumatic experiences hit us. And we have to be able to get to the root of those traumatic experiences. But most of the time, we do like these prisoners of war, in the natural, we come out of the prison and then we go for some medication to try to deal with the traumatic experiences. We get some medication to deal with the nightmares. We get some medication to deal with the anger without ever going back to dealing with the root of the issue. Going back and bringing healing into those places that cause such turmoil in their lives. The sense of, when you're in prison, the sense of hopelessness of, are you ever going to be free? The sense of not even knowing what day it is and all the other things that go along with being in prison. Unfortunately, we do that as Christians many times. We come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and we hang on with some of the anger issues, the pride issues, the issues of unworthiness, the issues of jealousy, the issues of unforgiveness, and we medicate them sometimes. Oh, we get our favorite scripture, and we learn that, and we'll quote it to ourselves, and we'll talk, we'll walk around acting real, Christian-like, but yet we medicate ourselves to make ourselves feel better, but yet we never deal with the root issue. Now, I don't believe, I believe there's some of us can take the Word of God and it gets washed over us and there's over a period of time we realize that God has changed us. But there's too many quote the verse and try to live the life, but yet the fruit is still there. Anger. If we have anger on the inside of us, one of the things that we must realize that we will never deal with it until we get to the root of the anger. We will never overcome anger until we go back and deal with how this anger got into our lives in the first place. I mentioned Mike Tyson a while ago. If he was to go through ministry in order to be healed from what they call demons of anger, then they would have to go back as a small boy and see how, and he talked a little bit about how he was rejected. He was the poorest of the poor, and he was made fun of and rejected by everybody around him, and all obviously those breed seeds of anger. And some point, somewhere along the line, when you open yourself up to that kind of anger and hurt and trauma, then a demonic force comes in and begins to take up host in you and begins to cause you to do things that you don't want to do. You see, the problem is, and again, in Mike Tyson's life, sure, it got him victory when he got into the ring, but then the trouble is he didn't know how to treat other people either. When he couldn't hold on to a relationship and to a wife relationship, for instance, and so forth, it magnified itself in other areas, and the fruit was terrible. It's terrible. Mike Tyson's life is sad. It's very sad. A man who could have had so much and went so far, but yet the demonic forces that he didn't want to get rid of actually tore him down, tore him apart. I'm convinced when I watch Christianity, I'm convinced many times, this is what happens. We come into the kingdom, and we're so glad. I don't know about you, but when I came into the kingdom of God, when I got saved, when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, I was so happy. I was so thrilled that I didn't have to die and go to hell. I was just absolutely, you know, blown away. I was just so thrilled because when that revelation came that I was on my way to hell and I could find a way out of it just to know that I didn't have to die and go to hell, I was happy. And I thought I had it all. I mean, I didn't care about anything else. Anything else in my life, I didn't care about it. I just could go to heaven. I was thrilled about it. But after a while, when you begin moving in those areas, you start to realize that there's other things that you have to deal with. That there's other personal things that you have to deal with. For instance, if you have unforgiveness in your life, you have to deal with it. Because what did the Father say? The Father said, if you won't forgive others their sins that they commit, neither will I forgive you. Well, if I want the Father's forgiveness, I better walk in forgiveness. Better not have any unforgiveness in my heart. So when we come out of the captivity, we have to learn to live as kingdom citizens. And for prisoners of war, it is extremely difficult. If you went and looked at the statistics of the number of people who are in jail in North America and see the percentage of veterans that are in there, it is unbelievable. It is absolutely staggering because there has never been a system put in place for these people to be able to deal with the trauma that they experienced while they were on the battlefield and while they were prisoners of war. It is absolutely amazing. I wonder if we had a gauge to gauge Christianity where how many people are, yes, they've been declared free when it comes to, being delivered from under the bondage of Satan. But I wonder how many people are still not walking in liberty because of the things that, the trauma that we experienced in life. And I want you to know there's a way out. There is a way out. If we are going to walk, if we are going to come into liberty, then we have to learn to live like a person who has been liberated. We have to learn that process because as long as you're in a prisoner of war, you never learn about liberty. You never learn about being liberated. You're a prisoner. You don't learn that stuff while you're a prisoner of war. But you begin to learn it when you come out of that. Now listen to what it means to be to walk in liberty or a person who has walked into a place of experiencing liberty. It means freedom. Liberty means freedom. It means authority. It means independence. It means rights. You have rights. And liberty means if a person is walking out liberty in their lives, then they are walking as an individual who has control over his own destiny. That's a person who has liberty. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have been totally freed from everything that would harass you, but you are a person who realizes that you have a control over your own destiny. As long as you're convinced that you are stuck with your circumstances, that it's your circumstances that has brought you into this place in life that you're at, and your circumstances are solid, they're in concrete, and they can't be moved, as long as you see yourself as that, you will never walk in liberty.